It seemed to be a heady day. The morning was warming up, the city already busy with a million pilgrims pushing their way into a city not built for that many, and all heading to the temple to prepare for Passover. The disciples moved down from the Bethany Hill, a tiny band against a million pilgrims towards the city, their shouts hardly heard, their mock parade hardly noticed against the Passover surge. And their hosannas fell on deafened ears, casting themselves like broken palms across a donkey's pathway.
After all the excitement of yesterday, with the cheering crowds and waving of palm branches, I expected that we would have a quiet and restful day before we met up with our friends to begin the Passover celebrations properly. I should have known better, really. Jesus was not really the kind of person to rest for long periods. The only time he seemed to stop was when he sneaked off to pray somewhere quietly. He gathered us together and informed us that we were now going to the temple to have a time of prayer with God. Despite our tiredness, we all agreed to go with him. Sometimes, no, many times, it was hard to say no to Jesus. Sometimes he would just give us a look that demanded we followed him, and today it was one of those looks. I suggested to him, we should have a wee rest, but he just said to me, Peter, come with me. So I went. As we made our way to the temple, people were busy coming and going, getting the last bits of shopping organized for the feast. There were many street traders on the road to the temple, offering the animals and money for the sacred offerings. When I mentioned this to Jesus and reminded him what was needed, he just smiled and kept walking towards the temple. When we arrived at the temple gates, it was noisier than I could ever remember it. There were people selling souvenirs and exchanging money to pay the temple tax. And there were registered traders selling animals for sacrifices, which were 10 times the price of the same ones outside. I was just about to mention this to Jesus when all of a sudden he went over to one of the money changers and overturned his table. All along the row he went, clearing the tables of their money. There was a mad dash by some of the poor people to grab hold of the coins on the ground. In the next instance, Jesus had wrenched a whip from one of the cattlemen and began to set free the animals. Goats and doves and cows were running everywhere, and it was lucky no one got hurt. I thought about saying this to Jesus, but he was so angry. There was no stopping him. The chief priests arrived and did their best to restore order. When the melee had died down, Jesus quoted them the words from Scripture that God had spoken to his people. My temple will be called a house of prayer for the people of all nations. Then Jesus went on to tell the priests and Pharisees in no uncertain terms that they had turned God's temple of prayer into a place for thieves and robbers. Jesus told us afterwards that these were the people who were charging ridiculous prices for God's merchandise and lining their own pockets and those of the religious elite. I guess Jesus was right to do what he did, and by the look of outrage and guilt on the faces of the leaders of the temple, you could tell that they knew what Jesus had said was true. But as they moved away, I heard one of them saying that they had had enough of this young upstart and that something would have to be done about him. I was mighty glad when we managed to get out of the temple because I thought we were going to be arrested or attacked. It was kind of scary today because I had never seen Jesus act like that before, and I said so to John. He agreed with me, and we decided that we must speak to Jesus about it.
Well, good morning, everyone. and welcome to Jerusalem. This morning we are going to walk our way with Jesus through his last days, and so we've arrived in the city of Jerusalem. It's Palm Sunday, and it was lovely to have the palm branches waved by the children as they came in, adding to the effect of that. The order of service has the intimations for the coming week. Just going to leave you to read most of what's there yourself, just to say that there are Holy Week services each evening this week along at St. Devnick's Church at 7 o'clock, and you'd be very welcome to join us there. Each night will be led by a different member of the local clergy. Next Easter morning, the early service at 7:30 a.m., we had put it in our magazine as being a St. Devnick's, as we thought that's what was going to be happening, but actually it's going to be along at the Kirk Centre. So if you're up for an early morning next Sunday, then you'll be rewarded with an extremely tasty bacon roll and a hot drink and some communion along at the Kirk Centre. And we will then gather here at our usual time for a celebration of Easter morning, and to also baptise little Bentley over there. Although we keep saying little Bentley, he's not really so little anymore, but it would be wonderful to be celebrating with Vera and her family that occasion next Sunday. I'm going to leave you to read everything else, because this morning we've got quite a lot to get through, because we have a long story to be told. The time is right. Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem. His eyes are fixed on the cross. He knows what is to unfold. And so we come, knowing the story too, and yet needing to hear it again and again and again. Come as we step into the holiest of weeks. Come as we worship. Our hymn is 367, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Turn now to God in prayer. Almighty God, on this day your Son Jesus Christ entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king by those who spread garments and palm branches along the way. Let those branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who celebrate in our hearts today might extend our thanks to him for all he has achieved in your name for us. Almighty God, your Son came to us humbly on a donkey's back, and now he sits exalted at your right hand. Yet we see in his story of old that so often, instead of being exalted, he was rejected and shunned. In this Holy Week, as we contemplate his path of suffering, help us to become loyal and steadfast disciples, that we may always hear his word, follow his teachings, and live in his spirit. Prepare our hearts for celebrating Easter and remembering the freedom that Christ established as he hung upon the cross. As we think of the crowds who cheered us as Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, we recall too those who abused him, threw stones at him, and sought to shut down his ministry of redeeming love. We seek your forgiveness for those times in our lives when we fail to praise you and instead pay greater attention to lesser things. We seek forgiveness for the way we turn our own agendas into things of great importance while forgetting to give due regard to your own will for our world. Forgive us. Into the silence of this time, hear us as we bring you our personal regrets for the way we have treated you, as we have failed to live by your grace and by your way. In your Son, you have given us freedom. You have liberated us from all that would keep your love and grace in check. Help us appreciate what becomes possible for us through Jesus Christ, and help us honor him in our words and deeds. And hear us as we say together the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from Mark chapter 14, reading from verses 3 to 11. Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon, a man who had suffered from a dreaded skin disease. While Jesus was eating, a woman came in with an alabaster jar full of a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Some of the people there became angry and said to one another, "What was the use of wasting the perfume? It could have been sold for more than 300 silver coins, and the money given to the poor." And they criticized her harshly. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a fine and beautiful thing for me. You will always have poor people with you, and any time you want to, you can help them. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body to prepare it ahead of time for burial. Now, I assure you that wherever the gospel is preached all over the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went off to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to them. They were pleased to hear what he had to say and promised to give him money. So Judas started looking for a good chance to hand Jesus over to them.
After yesterday's events at the temple, the town was buzzing. Word gets round quickly at Passover time, and many of Jesus' followers rallied to support him. They all agreed that the prices charged in the temple were ridiculous, but no one had been brave enough to say so before, and many of the poor people came up and thanked Jesus for standing up to the authorities and money changers. Jesus was not one to avoid controversy. That much I had learned about him these past 3 years. He was a man who spoke with conviction about God, and he really made us understand some of the hardest parts of Scripture. I knew in my heart that Jesus was the Messiah, and I told him so often enough. But he just smiled in that disarming way of his. It was as if he knew what you were going to say and what you would do next. Today we gathered again at the temple entrance. Jesus started teaching the crowds about God's greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, mind, and body. He even silenced the hecklers and the clever lawyers with his teaching, and it made you feel so good to be a part of his group. After the crowds had dispersed, we sat quietly in the sunshine, talking amongst ourselves and watching the people entering and leaving the temple. Everyone who entered into the temple left an offering in the plate at the door, and we began to guess amongst ourselves what each person would put in the plate. Judas was the most accurate in calculating what people would give. Some of the rich people really made a show of what they gave. They made sure people were looking. And some people gave more than a month's wages, and we thought that was great and wished we could give the same. Then an old lady came by with her tattered clothes, and Andrew joked that she might pinch something from the plate rather than put money into it. It was obvious she did not have much money, and she dropped 2 copper coins in the box, which were really worth nothing at all. Jesus had watched all that had been happening, but had ignored all our comments. But he drew us together sharply when he saw what the lady had given. He told us that she had given everything she had to God, and that was what God asked of all his people. I said to him that 2 copper coins were useless compared to some of the offerings we had seen this morning. Jesus said to me that these rich people had given no more than their spare change, even though it was a lot of money to us. They were giving not out of love or devotion, but merely as a sense of religious duty. Their offerings, although valuable, had no real thought behind it. Whereas the old lady could have at least got some bread to feed herself, yet she gave almost everything she had but the clothes on her back to God. Bartholomew asked Jesus if 2 copper coins were all we would have to give, and he looked at him and said, "No, Bartholomew, you have to give to God much more than money. You have to give yourself, and that is more important than your money. By giving yourself," he said, "you will gladly give your money." It was a lesson to all of us, not just about what kind of money we should give to God, but in not judging people by how they look or what they give. Jesus sure has a way of driving a point home that really gets to you. I sneaked back to the temple later to give a little bit more to God, but I did not tell the others. Yet the funny thing was, I passed Bartholomew and Andrew and Thaddeus on the way. I wonder if they did the same as me.
Thank you, Bill, for sharing Peter's part in the story. We are going to sing a little hymn now, and then the children are going to go off, and you're going to follow on with Jesus' story and into the next stage of things as you have your own Last Supper. So I hope you have a a lovely morning together and enjoy yourself. But we'll sing our song first, if you've got time. We're going to sing together 501. Take this moment, sign and space.
The second reading is from Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 26. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the day the lambs for the Passover meal were killed, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and get the Passover meal ready for you?" Then Jesus sent two of them with these instructions. "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the room where my disciples and I will eat the Passover meal?' Then he will show you a large upstairs room, prepared and furnished, where you will get everything ready for us." The disciples left, went to the city, and found everything just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12 disciples. While they were at the table eating, Jesus said, "I tell you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." The disciples were upset and began to ask him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, do you?" Jesus answered, "It will be one of you 12, one who dips his bread in the dish with me. The Son of Man will die as the scriptures say he will. But how terrible for that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born." While they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. "Take it," he said, "this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and handed it to them, and they all drank from it. Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for many, my blood which seals God's covenant. I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives.
We'll stay seated to sing our next hymn, which is 376. 'Twas on that night when doomed to know, hymn 376.
Thank you.
continuing to read from Mark chapter 14, verses 43 to 50, and then 53 to 56. Jesus was still speaking when Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, and sent by the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. The traitor had given the crowd a signal. "The man I kiss is the one you want. Arrest him and take him away under guard." As soon as Judas arrived, he went up to Jesus and said, "Teacher," and kissed him. So they arrested Jesus and held him tight. But one of those standing there drew his sword and struck at the high priest's slave, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus spoke up and said to them, "Did you have to come with swords and clubs to capture me, as though I were an outlaw? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must come true." Then all the disciples left him and ran away. Then Jesus was taken to the high priest's house, where all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law were gathering. Peter followed from a distance and went into the courtyard of the high priest's house. There he sat down with the guards, keeping himself warm by the fire. The chief priests and the whole council tried to find some evidence against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they could not find any. Many witnesses told lies against Jesus, but their stories did not agree.
Mark chapter 15, reading from verse 1. Early in the morning, the chief priests met hurriedly with the elders and teachers of the law and the whole council and made their plans. They put Jesus in chains, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "So you say." The chief priests were accusing Jesus of many things, so Pilate questioned him again, "Aren't you going to answer? Listen to all their accusations." Again, Jesus refused to say a word, and Pilate was amazed. At every Passover festival, Pilate was in the habit of setting free any one prisoner the people asked for. At that time, a man named Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder in the riot. When the crowd gathered and began to ask Pilate for the usual favor, he asked them, "Do you want me to set you free for you, the king of the Jews?" He knew very well that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him because they were jealous. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask instead that Pilate set Barabbas free for them. Pilate spoke again to the crowd, "What then do you want me to do with the one you call the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him." "But what crime has he committed?" Pilate asked. They shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Pilate wanted to please the crowd, so he set Barabbas free for them. Then he had Jesus whipped and handed him over to be crucified. We continue our worship, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Generous God, you have given us life, health, and wealth. You have given us family and friends, a place of safety and security. All that we have is a gift from you. Receive our offerings today. All that we give back to you. Help us to be generous in all our giving, our time, our money, and our talents. Take and use all that we give for the glory of your kingdom and the honour of your name. Amen. Stand to sing hymn 383, While Mary Was Watching, hymn 383. Come now to God with our prayers for others. Loving God, grant to us a humility like that of Jesus, and grant that may we ever obey and serve him by showing love for one another. Put in our minds and our hearts his eternal example, and guide us in the way of peace. Help us be ones who care for those who suffer. Help us to have a heart of compassion, a tongue that utters words of forgiveness, and hands that bring comfort. Assist us to be more expressive in the love we carry into our relationships and into our work in our communities and the world. Let us find ways that we might give evidence to your boundless grace. Today we pray for those who live in war-ravaged areas in our world. Let there be peace. We pray for the poor people of the world, those poor in the basic necessities of life. Let there be enough water and food, medicine and other resources that people's lives can be turned around. We give thanks for the courage for those who have endured difficult times, those who have been hurt by the violence of others, shunned and disrespected by others who show no care for the rights of all. We remember those who are far away from friends and family because of work, service to country, or the desire to find work and so be able to provide for family elsewhere. We pray for the families of those who have died, asking that they may never be forgotten and that the bereaved may be supported. May your creative spirit bring restoration to our world and peace for all humanity. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A reading from Mark's Gospel, starting at verse 16. The soldiers make fun of Jesus. The soldiers took Jesus inside to the courtyard of the governor's palace and called together the rest of the company. They put a purple robe on Jesus, made a crown out of thorny branches, and put it on his head. Then they began to salute him. "Long live the King of the Jews!" They beat him over the head with a stick, spat on him, fell on their knees and bowed down to him. When they'd finished making fun of him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes back on him. They then led him out to crucify him. Mark 15, reading from verse 21. On the way, they met a man named Simon, who was coming into the city from the country, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was from Cyrene and was the father of Alexander and Rufus. They took Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they tried to give him wine mixed with a drug called myrrh, but Jesus would not drink it. Then they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, throwing dice to see who would get which piece of clothing. Continuing on, it was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The notice of accusation against him said, "The King of the Jews." They also crucified 2 bandits with Jesus, one on his right and the other on his left. People passing by shook their heads and hurled insults at Jesus. "Aha, you were going to tear down the temple and build it back up in 3 days. Now come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law made fun of Jesus, saying to one another, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let us see the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." And the 2 who were crucified with Jesus insulted him also. Reading from Mark chapter 15 at verse 33. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, "Echloi, echloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why did you abandon me?" Some of the people who heard him and said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah," one of them ran up with a sponge, soaked it with cheap wine, and put it at the end of a stick. Then they held it up to Jesus' lips and said, "Wait, let's see if Elijah is coming to bring him down from the cross." With a loud cry, Jesus died. The curtain hanging in the temple was torn in 2 from top to bottom. The army officer who was standing there in front of the cross saw how Jesus had died. "This man was really the Son of God," he said. We stand to sing our hymn 374, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe." Reading from Mark's Gospel, this time at chapter 15, verse 42. It was toward evening when Joseph of Arimathea arrived. He was a respected member of the council who was waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God. It was preparation day, that is, the day before Sabbath. So Joseph went boldly into the presence of Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus was already dead. He called the army officer and asked him if Jesus had been dead a long time. After hearing the officer's report, Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph bought a linen sheet, took the body down, wrapped it in the sheet, and placed it in a tomb which had been dug out of solid rock. Then he rolled a large stone across the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching and saw where the body of Jesus was placed. We leave now in reverence for all that Jesus did for us. We leave now, and when we gather again, it will be in celebration of the victory of love over death. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you.